All right, coming up on Nothing Major, we're going to dive into the Asian swing and give some stories from our experiences in Beijing and Tokyo. We have some fan questions, which we haven't done in a little bit. Always love that. And we're going to end the show with a little segment. We're going to buy and sell stocks of ATP players towards the end of the year. And that's all ahead, so let's get the show started. Welcome back. Nothing Major, everyone. John Isner here, Jack Sock, Stevie Johnson. Sam Querrey is here. As I mentioned on Monday, he was traveling, so he could not make our Monday show, but happy to have him here on Friday. Sam's back in his home in LA. Sam, we really unpacked Laver Cup. I know you listened to every second of the episode already, and we really unpacked Laver Cup in a big way, but just real quick, I want to get your thoughts on the event and the overall, I guess, spectacle of Laver Cup in San Francisco.
It was unbelievable. You were there 3 straight days. It was sold out. San Francisco is like unbelievable host city. The event is very, very high end. Like the hospitality around, yeah, like the kind of insides of the event is like next level, like high end sushi, Levain Bakery. You know, they make those like thick cookies, like those things are everywhere. Like stuff like that is just unbelievable. And the tennis was awesome. Like Team World on day two went 4-0 and you're like, ah, big lead. But as we know with the format, anything can happen. I had a flight booked Sunday evening because I thought maybe Team World would take the first two matches and we'd be out of there. But once they lost that doubles, which you expected them to lose because like Carlos losing to Fritz the day before, you're like, all right, he's going to bring it the next day. And bring it, he did in the doubles. And then he chopped up Cerundolo 2-1, maybe.
Yeah, that was a beatdown.
2-1. And then Fritz just came up huge in the end against Zverev. I was a little surprised that Team Europe, maybe, I don't know if like Team Europe put Zverev in against Fritz because they matched. Or no, excuse me, they didn't match. Team World matched, but they would have known that was going to happen, I think.
Yeah.
Just because Fritz is, you know, was 5-0 against him, and now he's 6-0 against him. But that match had good drama. Came down, Fritz is up a set and a break. Obviously, Vera broke back, went down to a tiebreaker. But it was like, it's gotten to the point where like maybe that first year there was that debate, is it an XO, is it not, it is not an XO, like the stress in the stadium, the intensity amongst the players, like they want to win this thing. And it was fantastic. But my only little, if I had to like pick something apart, is I don't know if they have to change this, but toward the end, like a lot of fans had left. Mm-hmm. And they had this problem in Berlin last year. Because like the matches started at noon on Sunday, and by the time you get to that Fritz Zverev like kind of last tiebreaker, it's 8:30 p.m. So people have been there for 8.5 hours. So you do lose some fans. And again, same thing in Berlin last year. But the people that stayed, it was loud. And Fritz, you just like weirdly trust Fritz in these big situations. Like Sinner, Alcaraz, you also trust, and then Fritz is the next guy you trust to just come up big and go for shots and come up clutch, and that's exactly what he did. But great absolutely event.
That's what we spoke about. Yeah, he's the dude's clutch. He's got that gene. So
I would know what I was a little bummed with. Like I saw you guys make fun of me on the last pod. By the way, like when I was on the bench, I was interviewing the players.
We know and that.
Doesn't after look the like interview, that. You kind no. of sit there.
Doesn't look like that.
I was kind of like, because I had to stay that night because I missed my flight, I was kind of like waiting for the text from maybe like Fritz or Mickelson or like, hey, we're going out. And I like didn't get it. I was like waiting up in my bed till like 11. And like, my feelings were kind of hurt.
Wait, would you have gone?
Yeah, I would have gone.
She would have been like, bye, Abby. I'm going to go to the player party.
No, Abby had already flew home earlier in the day. So it was just me. Anyway, my feelings were hurt, but
but it did look like no you text. Were part of Team World, you know? You're just stolen valor once again.
I don't know. Well, I thought it was getting
true. He's a Team World alumni,
yeah. Right? I would have thrown the text out to Lerner Tien.
yeah, absolutely. I'm with you, Sam.
Yeah, I just if they those listen, guys, just let them know.
Those guys totally should have stopped in their moment of euphoria, winning the world, the Laver Cup, excuse me, and texted you.
Yeah, maybe the car ride to the club. Like, oh, dude, why are we? What's the text query? Like, but yeah. I don't get it. But anyway.
I feel like I might have gotten a text.
Yeah, I feel like Jack would have if you were there, Jack.
I sat in my room and had some Chinese dumpling soup by myself at like 11.
Well, that's a good segue for our next little segment. We're talking about the Asian swing. We did this a little bit last year, of course. Tokyo and Beijing have just started the two 500s on the schedule. Let's start with the food over in Asia. Sam just mentioned his dumpling soup in San Francisco. What do we think about the food over in Asia? Let's just do Tokyo and Beijing. What do we like about that? I think I played Tokyo one time.
Tokyo is great.
Yeah, Stevie's Mr. Tokyo.
Yeah, he is Mr. Tokyo.
Played for the love of the game.
Food over there, Stevie. And not just the tournament food, just the overall scene in the city.
Yeah, the food's incredible. I guess I was pretty lucky for like the bulk of my career. I was with ASICS forever. I was at Yonex forever, like for a while. So like I was always there and they treated you incredible when you're over there. They take you to these amazing dinners.
Always a sushi dinner?
No, not always. I mean, dude, like the steak restaurants, like, you know, they're hibachi style. Like, obviously, they're in the States, they're more like entertainment hibachi. Like, over there, it's like very proper chef hibachi. Like, they're not, you know, flipping the shrimp, you know, into your mouth trying to catch it. But it's the food's insane. Like,
the food.
Yeah, exactly. They're not doing that over there, but it's
no,
the dinners are amazing. And Sam and I probably went a few times. We were lucky. One of our like the USTA strength and conditioning coaches, Satoshi, would always come over with us and like kind of would spearhead that if we were just going out like with us, because, you know, then you can kind of get a bit more adventurous with your food. Sometimes you can get out there and get a little lost in a menu and you're not sure what things are.
Yeah.
We were lucky. We had a lot of help, but you know, the dinners that I had with like the ASICS people, the Onyx people, whoever, it was incredible. The food's insane. So I enjoyed my week in Tokyo every year. You know, the dinners were awesome. The atmosphere is incredible. It's just, I really enjoyed it. And I only paid Beijing once, so.
Oh, I have a bold take.
Go.
Give me American sushi over sushi in Japan.
So wrong.
Like from a good restaurant.
It's not the worst take. There's some amazing sushi places in America. Thank you. I'm not necessarily agreeing with you. They're both good. They're different.
They're different. They are different. They absolutely are different.
You can't get a California roll in Japan.
No, you can't. And you get a lot of variety from, you know, and like Embers and Mason. Great sushi.
Oh my God.
It's great sushi. Yes.
Was there a couple weeks ago.
You have that Wagyu roll, the Wagyu steak roll.
Yeah. Oh.
Give me the American sushi. Jack?
That doesn't surprise me for you.
To be honest, I didn't try it enough over there. I was more of the room service, give me a club sandwich with no tomato at the tournaments. I didn't really go out.
Don't be that guy.
Club sandwich and crinkle?
Yeah, I didn't really go out. The Beijing brekkie that you and I used to share every morning watching NFL games. I didn't venture out too much for the food. But I do love Asian food, so I'm actually a little upset I didn't like go out and explore a little bit more and try it. But I probably don't have the most experience here for that. Nor did I ever try. I know some players have gotten like try like the street food, you know?
You could do that in Tokyo for sure. Beijing.
I did that in Tokyo. I wouldn't do that in Shanghai.
But yeah, I was more of a room service guy and just chill.
I feel like Beijing, the first few years I played Beijing, like 2008, 9, 10, a couple times I remember trying to go out and find a restaurant in the city. And like you would touch one of those like Chinese spicy noodles to your tongue and just start tearing up. You can't eat outside of like the courts of the hotel. It's just like another level of unique spice. But now like in Beijing, it's pretty good, especially. Like if you stay like whatever the hotel is at Beijing, they kind of have the generic Italian restaurant, usually like the basic, you know, restaurant where you get like club sandwich, hamburger and stuff like that. I feel like it's come a long way. Breakfast buffets in Beijing.
Oh, you so can
argue
good.
In Shanghai, maybe so the good. Best in the entire world. They got like breakfast buffets honey dripping down the fruits, the omelets, pancakes,
and
waffles.
There's always American sports on the TV, whether it's NFL
or
MLB playoffs.
Yep.
With the time change, you're down there because you're so jet lagged. It's 6 in the morning and you're watching, you know, you're watching our sports back home. So yeah, totally agree. Breakfasts in Asia are elite. I think the best dish, I think about China in particular, has to offer. This goes for Beijing, Shanghai, anything, any restaurant, is the Peking duck.
Yeah.
You a fan of the Peking duck?
Yeah, very good.
Sam?
Yeah, I am. I actually had a little Peking duck at Laver Cup.
Ooh. At the Rocket Club?
At the Rocket Club. They had it.
Yeah.
Had
to, had it's good, some. Right?
Yeah, it's fantastic. With
a little taco?
Yeah.
Yeah. Little sauce?
Yeah.
Jack's looking at me weird. Like, you've never had the Peking duck?
I don't think I ever had the Peking duck. Like I said, I was probably a club sandwich, no tomato.
He was just hammering club sandwiches.
Yeah, clearly. All right. That's it for the food. All right. Did you guys feel? Because I always felt that the time change issue going from the States to Asia was so significant, way more significant than it was going to Australia, even though it's kind of, they're kind of in this similar time zone, they're 1 or 2 hours apart, Australia and Asia. Why was that? I always had such a hard time adjusting going from the States over to China. Those first few days, practice was rough. You know, you're up so early. It's just tough to adjust. Does anyone else feel that, or is I the only one?
Yeah, it's because you're haggard after 10 months of travel.
I don't think it was that the... No, I just think it's...
I know why it is.
Do tell.
No matter where you are in the world, Beijing, Tokyo was like a 12-hour time change. For whatever reason, it felt like that. Whether you're coming from like the West Coast, the East Coast, Europe, Australia, it felt like Beijing and Tokyo were like 12 full hours, which is the hardest time change, even though it actually wasn't technically that. It just felt like it for some reason. And it just, I feel like I never got adjusted to the time there. Did you guys?
No, it was tough. Beijing was a tough adjustment because it
Beijing
just-
Beijing was tough,
Wasn't that sunny ever?
I was going to say, I think the weather was part of it. It was like smoggy and like you wake up and it just like, I don't know, there wasn't like a whole lot going on, I feel like, at times. So you kind of woke up and it felt, I don't know, there wasn't like a lot of energy going on. Even when you get to the courts, it wasn't like, I don't know, you didn't like feel the juice maybe at times. And so it just felt a little more down for some reason.
Not much energy at the courts, right?
That's a perfect,
in Beijing. Tokyo,
perfect way to say it, Jack.
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head there, Jack. Tokyo might be a little different, but in Beijing, as big of a tournament is, with as much prize money it has to offer, like you go there and you go play on Moon Court and
at
Lotus Court.
Yeah.
And there's just not that much energy. Everyone's ghostly white. Right? There's no, I'm serious.
Everyone loses their tan.
It's like everyone looks horrible.
The crowds are at least a little better now. Again, if you go back 15 years ago, some of the crowds,
they were empty
in Beijing. There was no crowds. You play on a court with no one. Maybe you have like two top 10 guys. Now there's people at least, but there is just like a weird, I'm not going to say no energy. There's a weird energy, especially in Beijing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the fans are almost so respectful. Like they just like clap between points, and there's not like most tournaments, you know, yelling going on, and there's a lot of juice coming from the crowd, and it was almost like so respectful and even quiet at times. It was hard to get fired up and get going, I feel like.
But just such big events with such big points and like big prize money. I mean, everything is.
Did John and Jack, did you guys ever go to the silk markets in Beijing? Stevie and I went a bunch. You guys ever go get the fake stuff?
Some of my favorite times.
So fun.
You loved the fake stuff, Sam.
Loved it.
I love like haggling.
DVDs.
Early on.
Remember back in the day?
You know, the full DVDs, like for a certain full season wouldn't work.
You get like a full season of Friends or something AirPods, for $2.
You get like 30 of them for like $30. And they'd last for like, you know, 5-6 days.
Yeah.
But you'd expect them not to work.
Yeah, that's
true. But
then
the haggle. What'd you get there, Jack?
I was like, I remember getting like a jersey one time, like a fake Michael Jordan jersey for like $4. And I got called hospital crazy trying to bargain with the lady. I got some probably like a fake Louis backpack type thing. And yeah.
Do you guys remember in Beijing though, Sam, they would always have a tailor come to the hotel.
Dude, I still have my first. Keep talking. I have my fur coat. You want to see it? I got it.
Yes,
the,
please.
The Joe Namath like fur coat is the best.
The Joe Namath.
It's.
But in Stevie in Beijing they had the Jack. You remember they would have the tailor come to the hotel.
The same thing. It's they'd come.
Ah, Shanghai. You're exactly right. He would come in Shanghai. Exactly.
They'd come
right.
To the room and you'd have like 10 guys lined up outside and then inevitably you would never get it correct ever.
No, but it would only cost you $300 for 3 suits.
No, of course. But like, you know, they'd ship it to you in the States and it would be wrong. Like, what are you going to do? You're not going back there. Like you take it to a tailor in the States and it's.
How did you have that so readily available?
It's in my closet right here. Look at that. It's like polar bear. How nice is this thing?
It's,
I've only worn it out. I probably got it 8 years ago. I think I've only worn it out in public 2 times.
Why would you ever wear that out in public?
Why wouldn't you wear that out?
I wore it. We took like a snow trip a few years ago, and I looked baller going into the restaurant. So it's only like I don't know. I maybe pay like $200 or $300 for this.
I mean, that's unreal, dude.
It's nice.
It looks like the fabric's still intact. Like it looks,
dude. It's like I've worn it 2 times and sitting in my closet. I'm just waiting for another snow trip. I can't wear it in Southern California.
It'll get chilly in January. You can wear it out in January, maybe.
Like a little school drop off.
Drop the boys off.
Take the chilly sweater. Out there.
I was just actually talking about this. It was funny with John's and my agent Sam Duvall. He got all his groomsmen, his suits done in Shanghai or Beijing, one of the
genius.
Two for his wedding.
So you each do have suits from Beijing.
Not me.
You're not a groomsman?
No, this is right. He got married before I think I signed with him, but.
Oh, my bad.
But I never did it. A lot of guys did this.
Go on, Stevie.
I'm like confused now.
Yeah. Okay. Best events in Asia, like the whole swing.
Chengdu?
No, it's obvious.
What is it?
It's Shanghai. It's not even close.
Agree?
Do you think there's a better like 2 weeks for you guys of fellowship than the breakfasts that we would share in Asia?
It was like that for 2 weeks because you never adjusted. So you're always up at 5.
It's impossible to adjust. Know what I think it is? Especially once like the smartphones came out. Like you'd wake up and you maybe wake up at 4 or 4:30 and you look at the phone and you might have like 7 or 8 texts and you're like, oh, I'm going to check. You like would check Instagram or something, and that just like that little 5 minutes, and then you were up.
Don't do it.
I think that was it. If you went over there with no phone, I think you would have adjusted easier.
But you guys would have never done that.
That's not the craziest theory.
No, it's not a crazy theory at all.
No, I'm saying you guys would never have done that. You guys would have always had an iPhone, no?
BlackBerry.
Back in the day. BBM.
Yeah.
BBM. I think the best, if you put a tournament together, if you go Beijing hotel room with the city of Tokyo and the Shanghai tennis part of it would be the sick Asian tournament.
I like Shanghai of all the cities the best.
I will say the hotel was sure. The best of the first 250 week was always the best hotel in Asia.
Yeah, Chengdu. Thank you.
Chengdu, I played in Zhuhai. It was insane. It was like the Ritz or the Four Seasons. It was incredible.
It's not as good anymore.
They're not?
I was texting Mackie McDonald randomly the other day. He was in Chengdu. I was like, how's the St. Regis? He goes, it's nice. Oh, no, it's not the St. Regis anymore. He goes, it's whatever it is now. He's like, oh, it's nice, but it's not the St. Regis. So they pivoted away from the St. Regis at Chengdu.
Yeah, I stand corrected then.
Yeah.
Because that was always the best.
We would say like we weren't excited, but I always like deep down inside, like I something about it, I liked it. There wasn't like the stress of the US Open was behind you. Kind of just get over there and, hang out with your buddies and try to win some tennis matches.
I did a full 180. I was like, I hated it maybe the first 6, 7 years. And then I liked it, like John's saying, for the last 10.
Once I got there, it was fine. But I think twice in my career, I drove to LAX and turned around and went home and booked a flight the next day. I was like, I can't do this right now. I went home. But once you get there, it's great.
That is true. All right. Well, let's move on to the actual, the 2 500s I mentioned, Tokyo and Beijing. We spoke about this last year. I think Sam had a bad take. You tried to say Tokyo was tougher last year. Remember
that? No.
We had an argument. No?
I don't think so.
Are you sure?
Well, I don't know what I said. It doesn't matter what I said.
Yeah.
What I will say is Beijing is always tougher. Beijing is always tougher than Tokyo.
Well, this year, I think...
Beijing's tougher than Tokyo this year, for sure.
Yeah, I mean...
No, Beijing's tougher.
Beijing's tougher.
A little bit. Just a little bit. Slightly. No. Used to be a lot.
Tougher's tougher.
I'll be like, actually, you know what? It doesn't really matter because there's two guys that scare you and there's one in each draw.
Good point, Stevie. Yeah.
They're both not that tough because Sinner and Alcaraz are going to win each title. So it doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
No?
Yeah.
The draws aren't that tough because these guys are better than everyone else.
So Alcaraz played Beijing last year. He's playing Tokyo this year. And Sinner's in Beijing. So Sinner and Zverev in Beijing leading the charge there. Demon is the 3 seed. And in Tokyo, Alcaraz, of course, the 1 seed. Fritzy, he's going to lace him up.
Alcaraz and Fritzy in the same draw in Tokyo. Does that, I mean...
Yeah.
Venture to say, is that a better 1 and 2 seed than...
Yeah, you're Sinner splitting hairs. You're splitting hairs, right? Yeah, yeah. So, no, I'm just saying...
Are you guys... Sometimes I'm surprised that, like, some guys play Tokyo. Like, assume you're not getting an appearance fee. Beijing prize money is, like, double what it is in Tokyo. If you win Beijing, it's like 750 grand. If you win Tokyo, it's 416,000. Like, what? If you're, I'm trying to pick a, I'm not calling these guys random. Like, Alex Mickelson. Why did Alex Mickelson go to Tokyo over Beijing?
Does he get in guaranteed over in one or the other? Or
yeah, he's ranked 30 in the world. He's getting in either one.
Okay.
He's getting in either of them.
I bet he got a deal in Tokyo.
I'm saying if you didn't get a deal.
I don't think he got a deal in Tokyo. I think they're only giving deals to seeded players. Yeah, I'm with you, Sam. You play Beijing and you hope to get a good draw.
Totally. Every time. It's a no-brainer. I don't get some guys that even sign up for Tokyo.
And the doubles, Jack. The doubles money in Beijing was like we made finals one year. We lost to Pearsey and who do we lose to?
Peasy and Kontinen.
Kontinen in the final. We were playing for a lot in that final in Beijing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, big time.
Some of us play for the love of the game.
Stevie, you were a guy that always played Tokyo. If you would have gone to Tokyo over Beijing, assuming you didn't have sponsor obligations and whatnot.
Yep.
Get out of here.
Yeah. What do you mean?
If you win doubles in Beijing this year, you get 250,000 split. They're just giving away money in doubles.
Well, the only time I played doubles in Beijing, Sam and I lost to the local wild card, so I figured I'd never go back.
I mean, the doubles draw in Beijing, I'm not even going to – there's no need to call names out, but like
– call them out.
Any two pairings of us right now could make a run to the semis there right now.
What are you talking about?
I'm with Sam.
Right now.
Yeah. A few days of practice.
A few days of practice. It's not crazy to think we can't semi Beijing in doubles right now.
Give me 2 days of practice. I have a torn oblique. I can't serve. What do you mean? The more I play, the worse it gets.
Well, you're not on the team. It's John or John and Jack. John and Jack, probably final.
I feel like we could, Jack.
we might be able to.
Anyway, I was just trying to make a point that like sometimes if I'm a player, I'm going to Beijing over Tokyo every time.
For sure. If you're all about the money, but you know, play for the love of the game, like some of us do.
Yeah, you really play for the love of the game. Moving on to fan questions now. It's enough about Tokyo and Beijing. We'll talk more about it on Monday. But any of these questions stick out to y'all that you liked? We have a lot, as we always do.
Best chance of winning 25 slams. Read that one.
This is a good one from Charlie Gibbons from Illinois. Who has the best chance of winning 25 slams? There's three choices. Carlos, Sinner, or Novak, who's one away. That's a good one.
I'll take it, Carlos.
Sam? I'm taking Carlos too.
I'm taking Carlos, then Sinner, then Novak.
Yeah, no disrespect to Novak, yeah. But
I think of the same exact lineup. I think of
these guys are each going to win like 40 titles.
I think Carlos Sinner's like 50-50 for me, and then Novak is third on that, which is scary to say.
That is terrifying to say, Jack.
I go back and forth between Sinner and Alcaraz. I was team Sinner like before the US Open. Then after the US Open, I'm like, I'm back on team Alcaraz.
Yeah. That could flip next year again.
It could flip. It could flip. But Novak said it, right? He said as much. It's hard late in a slam to beat these two players in particular in 3 out of 5. He fell short at Roland Garros, Wimbledon, and US Open.
And Australia
in the semifinals against all of them. So
he needs somebody to lose.
Yeah, he does. He does. It's like he's in the same boat as like anyone else, right?
Everybody's in the same boat. These guys need some help.
They absolutely need some help.
Yeah.
Okay. Lane from New York City goes, when you were on tour, were you media trained? And also, how many hours did you spend after a match and, you know, doing post-match press? So were any of us media trained?
No one is really media trained, but they have ATP school. I don't know if they still
ATP
have
U.
It. Yep. ATP University. U. So it's essentially like once you make the top 100, you have to go to mandatory ATP University. And they have a couple during the year, like one in Orlando, one in London, and maybe one other one. And they might have, you know, 10 to 12 newcomers that have just made the top 100. And it's like a 3-day training course, basically, on media, on how to take care of your body, on being like financially responsibility.
Yep.
Financially responsible, and a few other things. And it's like this course that you go through. Now, most of the players like are kind of not media trained, but you've already done some media because you had to do some to get into the top 100. But the tour at least has this mandatory university that, quite frankly, is kind of annoying. Like you've traveled all year and they're like, super mandatory annoying. University for 3 days in some place that you got to fly to. But I think the ATP is just kind of covering their back and just saying, look, we've done our part to try to help these guys take care of their body, be responsible with finances, be media trained. But so, yeah, that is like the bit of training that all the players have.
But wait, you did it like somewhere else back in the day. We did ours like, I don't know if Jack did the same around the same time as me, but we just did it in Miami, like right before the Miami Open.
I flew to Orlando in like December.
Yeah.
In the off season.
Ew, really? Orlando.
I was living in Florida, disgusting. But I did mine in the off season. So I drove an hour to Orlando. Easy.
Oh, yuck.
Ours was in Miami right before the tournament. And it was an excuse for every player to go out for three nights in a row.
Yeah.
We'd practice at the courts like in the afternoons. Like we'd do it. It was so much easier.
But I'm assuming it's the same, but it was mandatory. It was like if you didn't do it, that you were like not even playing the next year.
Mandatory for it was top 200 mandatory.
Yeah. Like you weren't getting like tour card or whatever.
Yeah, you weren't getting your pension or something.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. They would withhold some benefits. You had to do it. But did any of you guys take home some of those lessons you learned once you graduated from ATPU? I didn't.
No, I didn't.
Just my diploma. It's the last one I have.
Couldn't tell you one thing that they said in that.
But I mean, we're all like, you gotta have common sense.
It's common sense.
When you're answering questions.
You guys remember the Harlem Shake back in the day? This is random. Our whole ATPU classroom.
Wait, did we do it at the same time, Jack?
Did we do the Harlem? Were you in the Harlem Shake with us?
Maybe Jack and I did it at the same time. That's good memory.
We gotta find that video.
The Harlem Shake.
Everybody like that. You like did the thing. It was like one of those internet things, and
then you like froze, kind of.
Yeah. Oh yeah, we did do that in Davis Cup. That's what it's called. Okay.
Yeah, but that was 2012. Maybe 30, like, oh, a million years ago.
We should go back and find out, like, which of the last 15 years, which ATPU class is, like, the best one.
Ooh.
I don't know how to figure that out.
How would we find those? We could probably find the classes.
You could probably just ask the ATP for photos of all the graduating classes, pick them out.
That's true. The draft class of
best class, best graduating class.
To see where Sinner did it, you know?
Yeah.
Kind of before he was Sinner.
And for, I guess, for lane two, like after a match, for the second part of that, I feel like it was, what, maybe like 30 minutes to, for in press and stuff. I mean, 30 to maybe an hour max at times.
Sometimes 0 minutes.
Yeah. Depending on the situation. If it was a first round of an Indian Wells, sometimes 5 minutes, you win a round of 16 quarter at a slam, it would be like, it's like ESPN, Eurosport, USA Today, generic press, it would be an hour.
Yeah.
It's always a good problem when you had a lot of press.
Yeah,
this is true.
All right, we like this one from Tom. Don't know where Tom is from, but he asks, draft the worst possible ATP player based on attributes.
Like, should we go shot by shot?
Serve, forehand, backhand, volley, movement.
Want to start with like worst serve in the top 100?
Yeah.
It's our fellow American.
I know you're saying. He's top 100, right? Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, like Jack, Stevie, you know who we're talking about?
He's got a great game apart from a serve.
He won a title this year in America. It's Jensen Brooksby.
He might have been, yeah, exactly.
Oh, yeah.
Brooksby serve.
Brooksby serve.
If he improves that serve, because he's got a lot of
a
lot of attributes apart from the serve. So I agree. Anyone, you guys disagree, Jack, Steve?
No, that's a good one.
No.
I got to like look up the rankings.
So let's go forehand. I have one.
Who?
Retired.
I mean, Benoit.
From Latvia?
Latvia. I was going to Gulbis. Benoit's a pretty good one too, though.
I feel like Benoit's was worse.
You think?
Gulbis's was more dangerous. I feel like Gulbis could like if
for sure.
If he connected, he could like hit some missiles with that thing. Benoit's is just like he can't do anything with it except drop shot.
All right, let's take Benoit pair.
We'll go Benoit. That's fine.
Benoit pair.
All right.
Backhand.
Backhand.
The two-handed drive backhand or just the
Stevie slice was you could just lock down in the corner.
It was pretty good. Stevie's backhand was so good.
Yeah, he would lock you down with the slice.
There's gotta Thank be you guys. Someone with the worst backhand.
So how about we can give Stevie we'll go two-handed backhand.
Okay, yeah.
That's fair.
Bad volleys. Did you guys give a shout out to Mickelson last week for the volleys at like the doubles at Laver Cup, by the way? I know he went 1-2. But like he got that backhand, double-handed backhand
volley. I love the two-handed.
His movement was sick. Like, he was good.
He's lanky. He's got a lot of cover.
When you're comparing Mickelson to Jack, if he's going to be like the new doubles guy. But no, I agree. I was very impressed with his doubles ability.
I was impressed. That's extremely. All I'm going
to
say.
Yep. His movement at the net, which is not.
He's got some work to do to get on the Jack Sock level.
Yeah. I mean, for singles players to be able to have that movement at the net and know how to move at those angles and at the right time is something that, you know, we don't practice a lot. Jack, you never practiced that ever, but you were like the best at it. So you just naturally knew how to do it. I didn't know how to do it. Sam, you certainly didn't. Steve, you were pretty good. You weren't at Jack's level, though.
No, no.
Stevie was good. But yeah, Mickelson, I was impressed. I'm with you, Sam. I was impressed with his volleys. What about, okay.
Volleys is tough because no one, you don't see a lot of guys volley.
I mean, Zverev could be up there.
I was going to say Zverev or Opelka, but then Riley can hit some decent ones at times. Opelka. But yeah, Riley, though.
You don't like his volleys?
I don't like him at all.
Yeah.
You guys?
We gotta pick someone. I don't love his volleys. He can improve the volley.
I trust Zverev to make a volley late over Opelka. I just try at any time, for that matter.
I don't trust either.
Well, someone we have to trust less for the sake of this game.
All right.
We're giving volley to Riley?
Yeah. Let's give him a little congrats to Riley. Where's volleys?
Nick, congrats.
Yeah.
I think he would be honored in that, actually.
Yeah, he would.
Return is an easy one right now.
Oh, return.
Is he going me?
No. You're way better than the player I'm about to name.
Petchy Perry card.
Yeah.
Right?
He's the worst. Oh. He has diabolically bad statistics on return. Diabolically bad.
I'm still buying Pericard stock going forward. I just he's got to Steve, you need to coach him on the slice backhand, because if he can develop a slice backhand, because he never hits it.
This is a problem.
It is a problem.
Final thing, real quick. Movement, worst mover.
I'm happy to take it. You guys want to get into it?
Underrated. But your move,
your movement wasn't for
Karlovic.
Yeah.
If you go size to movement ratio, it's not you.
Thank you.
Fine, I'll just give it to John.
Give it to me. That's fine. That's a pretty bad player.
Is the player we just crafted top 200?
No.
No.
Top 500?
Yeah.
Okay, you have to think the two most important things here are the forehand and backhand. You're going to play a lot of those. And you have Benoit's forehand and my backhand. How are we winning
and
Brooksby
points? Serve.
How are Brooksby serve?
Never getting a free point.
And
you're moving John to the ball.
And Petchy Pericard's returning. Yeah, no, we're not top 500.
Top 500 is an honor if you can get top 500.
We're not playing six for a low-level Division 1 team.
Mustangs.
Yeah, no, that's a bad player.
Yeah, that is a bad player. Good question.
Yeah, very good question.
Horrible question. I mean, good question. Horrible player.
Yes.
Sorry.
All right, you want to move on to buy and sell?
Let's do it.
Buy, sell. All right, we're going to buy, sell stocks.
Who's going to dip a little bit in the rankings? Who's going to improve? Who's going to have a good, last 5-6 tournaments?
Yeah, so then it's players potentially.
Is this just any ranking, really? We can.
Top, give us top. It's got to be top 30, 40 guy.
Yeah.
All right, you want to buy? Everyone choose a buy.
All right, you go first.
I'm going Medvedev.
Damn,
we're going to buy him. You can take him. Take him.
No, no,
I think it's an obvious choice.
I'm not taking him.
Okay. He likes the hard courts. I think he likes fast hard courts.
Has he hired a new coach?
I believe he did.
Okay.
Unless I got tennis centelled, I think he did.
It's possible.
But I'm going to go Medvedev. That's me.
Medvedev, good pick.
Jack?
I'm going to buy some Mickelson stock. I think he's going to come off Laver Cup with a fun, got that first experience. I'm assuming first time to Asia, so he doesn't, he'll still be hungry and excited to go over there and compete and play. Maybe unlike some older, more veteran players who've been over there 10 times. He'll still be excited. So I think Mickelson will maybe ride the momentum from Laver Cup and confidence and keep rolling.
I'm taking Mensik, buying Mensik.
Yeah.
He's young. He's hungry. Just played, great win at Davis Cup. Didn't get the win at Laver Cup, but he's going to be flying high in Asia and Europe.
All right.
He's going to, exactly like Jack is. He's going to be young and hungry. He's going to want a piece of the end of the year.
Give me Opelka. Still, missed a lot of the last few years. Indoor, he likes Europe. He's that guy that on the off week goes to Belgium for 6 days. Look at museums.
Yeah, he does like Europe.
And I just, if the serve gets going inside, give me Opelka to... not going to the top 20, but get up there. I don't even know what he's ranked right. He's ranked 62. Give him a bump to 40 year end for me.
Give him a look at being seeded at some slams next year eventually. Maybe not Australia.
I think Demon Hour is going to light up the fall as well after that, but it's tough when they're already top 30, tough when they're top 10 to move up a whole lot.
All right, now we're selling. This is a personal segment. This is tough.
This is personal.
Okay, now we're selling.
Dibs on Draper.
Dibs on Dimitrov.
I think he was someone that's an interesting one is Francis. I'm not saying I'm selling him, but I think he's one to watch. Just I could see him going either way.
He can't have a worse Asia swing than he did last year.
What did he do?
He had that massive blow up in Shanghai.
Oh, that's right.
He cannot have a worse. He can't have a worse one.
Just going to Asia not getting fined is a massive success for
that's
Francis
a win for
this
Francis.
Year.
So let's hope for no fines from Francis.
All right, we got to sell.
The sell's hard.
Sells hard because if the guys listen to this too, then that, and we got to like,
everyone
see
listens,
them,
we know
and
that.
And then you got to see them face to face. It's just tough.
I'll start just because I don't think he'll listen. And I don't know. I'm going to go Cerundolo. I'm just going to sell Cerundolo for the fall.
Nicest guy, by the way, at Labor Cup. I never talked to him. He's the best dude.
Nice guy. Yeah. Don't know how much he loves Asia. Don't think it's probably that similar to South America. Don't think he likes to indoor hard probably to finish the year. So, I'm just going to sell Cerundolo. No hard feelings. I hope you prove me wrong.
Yeah. I like it.
Glad I'm done with that.
All right. I'm going to sell Schoppo. Ooh, you're selling Sitsi?
Yeah. Steve? I think he did decently
Everyone's
well. Everyone's
selling
last
him, so he's a cheap buy right now.
Yeah, but he did well at the end of last year. I just don't see him turning it around this season. And he's hurt, actually, so that doesn't help him.
No, that does not help.
I feel like that's a cheap pick by me, indeed.
Give me TP, Tommy Paul. Just like he looks hindered late, and I just haven't seen a lot from him. Having said that, I hope all these players. Oh, let me redo that. I didn't know he had surgery. Edit that out.
So yes, he is hindered late.
I had no clue.
He's hindered.
All right, give me. Gosh, man, this is tough, guys.
It is hard. All right, I'm gonna sell Schoppo. I'll give you a little more time. I'm gonna sell Schoppo.
It's a little weird. Bublik just won a title. Give me Bublik to just like finish the year like 1-5.
I like that.
Yeah, that's actually a good pick. I like that. Yeah. It's very possible.
It's very possible that
he could get to like Beijing, Tokyo, and just
regardless, phenomenal year from him. Did he just won his fourth title? Right.
But he sounds like the guy that could just shut it down and be like, I'm good.
Just shut it down. You know, a little vacation in Kazakhstan for like 3 weeks.
No, he's going to start his his like mountain retreat like we talked about last year.
Yeah.
He's going to start it early.
It works for him.
We'll circle back after the year-end finals and see where we're at with those.
I'm going to honorable mention who Isner's buying and sell Medvedev as an honorable mention.
Okay.
Just for some drama.
Yeah. I like it.
You buying or selling?
He said he's selling. He's going oppo.
Oh, opposite of you.
Yeah.
All right. That's it for this Friday episode of Nothing Major. Thank you for tuning in. As always, we appreciate you guys so much. Again, follow us wherever you get your podcasts. Spotify, Apple Podcasts. We're on YouTube. We're on TikTok at Nothing Major Show. So give us a follow. Give us your comments, feedback, everything. We take it all in and we appreciate it. And we're having so much fun with this. So thank you guys. Stevie, Jack, Sam, and the team at SIFT. Thank you all as always, and we will see you on Monday.